I'm going to talk some more about revival. And what I'm going to say today is like a declaration. You know what happens when you declare something? It goes out and it provides seed for something to come about as a result of your declaration. Okay? And I want this seed to be planted in this church. I want the seed to be planted in each one of your hearts that are here to listen with your ears this morning. Okay? But what I'm going to declare can also be released in the spirit realm, and that's what I want to see happen this morning. Because everybody needs to hear this, and the sad truth is I can't get all of y'all together on one Sunday. It just will never happen. And so I've got to, you know, stoop to spiritual means to get it done. So this message is being declared into the realm of the Spirit this morning. And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will take it and work it in the lives of people who are not here this morning. I'm after people who have come to this church and they don't come anymore. I'm after people who haven't even ever come to this church. They don't even know that they need to be here. I'm after everybody, okay? So if you're here this morning, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I don't have anything to say to you. But what you need to hear is what the Spirit of God is speaking this morning. Now, Jesus has established our position with him. Okay? He did it over in the book of Revelation to the church at Ephesus. And the truth is, most Christians in this church are not hot, but at the same time, we're not all cold either. And I believe that we believe. I believe, you know, we're true believers, but yet we've not given our whole life into God's hands. And when you study Scripture, that's what God wants. He wants the whole you, not just the pieces that you give him. God is not a fragment God. He works in wholeness, okay? And God wants everything that you are and everything that you're capable of being. So we find ourselves holding back because we don't want to turn loose of our hold on the world. And all that's going to bring is compromise. And when we withhold giving our total life, then that makes us what Jesus called us, lukewarm. And that is not pleasing to Jesus. Okay, in fact, he even said that if you're going to remain to be lukewarm, then I'll just spit you out of my mouth. And the sad truth is, when we read scriptures like this, we don't take them seriously. Oh, well, you know, that he was speaking that to some church 2,000 years ago, and that has nothing to do with me in 2013. Yes, it does. It has everything to do with you and I, because the same Jesus that saved them over 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that saved you and I. And the Word of God has not changed. Jesus has not changed. God has not changed. And so it's all still in the realm of the Spirit of God reality. The things that Jesus is calling us to be and to do. Now, Jesus talked about, you know, many in the kingdom of God, they get this attitude. Kind of attitude, you know, well, I've prospered much and, you know, I don't really need anything. I've got everything I need. But Jesus says, no, you don't understand. He says that you don't know that you're wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked in God's eyes. And see, this is what deception does to us. This is why we live our lives being measured by the Word of God. And when we don't know what the Word of God says, we have no way of knowing what God expects of us in our lives. And that's what Jesus is declaring here. You don't have a clue as to what you really are, is what he's saying. And I'm not saying that all of us have problems. I'm just saying that there is a church that God is establishing. And there is a passivity toward this church that God wants to release and reveal in the city of Eagle Pass. And so the best way to do it is to hear what the voice of God is saying, what the Spirit of God is saying, and then begin to respond to what God is saying. You see, we are deceived into thinking everything's okay. Everything's just fine. And this work of deception is what's destroying the lives of so many Christians. We don't see what's going on around us, and we don't even see what God is offering us right now. I don't think any of us really have a major clue as to what God really wants to do in this church. I don't think we truly know what God wants to do in this church. But God's ways are way out there beyond where we're at today. And all God is asking is just open your heart and let me lead you by my Spirit. And so we're going to look at some scripture this morning that I think will show you what I'm talking about. If you will, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Now Isaiah is talking about a people, and there was a deception that came upon this people. And God was showing me that we're so much like the people of Israel during this time. You and I as a church, River of Life Church. Again, sometimes I talk about the church at large. Sometimes I talk about us. Today I'm talking about us, River of Life Church. You know, we, like the Israelites, we have heard about the Messiah. The message of the coming of the Messiah was prophesied to the Israelites back before Jesus ever came. But we have personal knowledge of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And we've received him into our lives, but we have not allowed him to become a life-changing reality in many of our lives. And I understand, Pastor, back when I was saved 48 years ago, I was changed. Yeah, you were. But what has happened to the change? God continues to change. You know, God doesn't just stop working on us. I mean, God has a continual work that he's going to work in each one of us. He has a continuing plan that he wants us to follow day after day after day. But too many times we get so caught up in things around us, the things of this world, the things of the flesh, that we never get involved in what God is actually doing. And that's what God is warning Israel about in this passage. So, of course, Israel couldn't see Jesus. They weren't in a time frame where they would be able to see him. And they were walking in darkness. And they could not even believe that light would eventually come. But the truth in all of this is we have seen the light. If you've seen Jesus in your life, if you've seen enough of him to invite him to come into your heart to change you and to you know, make a new creation out of you, then you've seen the light of Jesus Christ. Yet because of the darkness that this world is producing, we have slipped back into that darkness, and we, according to Scripture, have become blind. We become blind. So let's look at it in Isaiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 16. 42 verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness into light before them, and make uneven places into a plain. And these things I have determined to do, and I will not leave them forsaken. And that's good news. Amen. God loves us that much that He's not going to leave us out here forsaken. God knows that many of us are messed up. God knows that the darkness has overtaken many, many Christians in this hour. And God knows that we become blinded, even to His magnificent presence. So many Christians have become blinded. They can't see Him, nor can they sense His presence. And yet, at the same time, we know that God is doing something. I hope every morning that you wake up, that you know, that you realize in your spirit that God is doing something. God is not passive. God is not sitting on a throne in heaven doing absolutely nothing. God has a plan that He's carrying out every day here on this earth. And we are a part of that plan. We need to get plugged back into God. We need to get plugged into Him and what He's doing. So this morning, I want to just share with you what God is saying to each one of us. Listen to this. I'm going to take you to a place that you have never been before. Now, this is a Christian. God's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to each one of you this morning. I'm going to take you to a place that you've never been before. You cannot see where you're going, yet I will lead you. As you give into my leading of the Holy Spirit and my presence that is among you, I will cause you to walk into the light once again. I will make every rough pathway that you have traveled into a smooth highway of my grace. I will do this because I have chosen to do this. Now, do you understand? That's grace. That's the grace of God toward each one of us individually. And God wants to give us something that we don't really deserve, but God still wants to give it to us. Now, let me read verse 16 again, and then we're going to move on into verse 17. I will bring the blind by a way that they did not know. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. That kind of sounds like what God just spoke to us, doesn't it? Verse 17, they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carved images, who say to the molded images, you are our gods. Now you see, we must make a choice to turn away from going the way that we're going. It takes a choice. And then it takes a turning. If you're going to turn and go the opposite way or another direction, you're going to have to make a change. Well, guess what God calls this change? Repentance. Repentance. We have to understand that we're not walking the way of God. That we're walking some pathway that is mixed in with the world, and this is not the way that God wants us to go. And so we have to not only see that we're being lost, we're blinded, we're moving into darkness, and we don't even realize that we're moving into darkness, but God wants to reveal that to us so we can stop, make a choice, and then turn around and head out of the darkness back into receiving our sight once again. And this is a deception that the enemy has put over the church, this church and the church at large. I'm telling you, it's a work that has been going on for years. And God is bringing a deliverance of a people out from underneath the darkness that has consumed so many Christians. Now, just in case you're not for sure who God is talking to, let's look down in verse 18 and 19. Verse 18, he says, hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Now, you see, God's prophesying to him. How can a deaf person hear? Only God could release their ears. And how could a blind one see? Only God could reveal their eyes to the place where they can see. And this is called healing. And that's what God wants to do in the church. He wants to heal the church from all deception in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the deliverer of the church. He's the head of the church, and Jesus wants to set the captives free in the church. And God is opening eyes and ears this morning so that you can see the depth of deception that you've fallen into. Now look at verse 19. Who is blind but who? My servant. Or deaf like my messenger that I send? Who is blind like the one who is at peace with me? Yes, who is blind like the Lord's servant? So you see, God is identifying who he's talking to. And everybody that's in this room this morning has been admitted into a covenant relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Is that not correct? You have entered into covenant with God. And that is those that he loves and he's concerned about. God is a covenant-keeping God. If only we would catch that concept, that understanding, and that we would be a covenant-keeping people. Now this whole thing, this whole passage is a picture of God's grace reaching out to you and me. God's reaching out right now to the church. Not just this church, but churches all over the world. God is trying to break into the churches and begin to reveal his heart, his desire for the church. Now look on down in verse 20. You have seen many things, but you do not observe or apprehend their true meaning. Your ears are open, but you hear not. In the past few years, in this church right here, many of us have seen things that we've never seen happen before. We've received revelation that we had never even heard of before. And God has been moving in this church in such a way to get our attention as to the purpose that he wants to fulfill through this church. Yet we have taken God for granted. It's just like we just sat back, oh, well, you know, that was neat. You see, we've missed God's purpose for their true demonstration of the things that God has done before us. His purpose was to turn our hearts where we would move back to him in purity and be in the position that he wants us to be in this time. But what we've done is we look at what God has done or what God has declared to us, and we say, that was interesting. Or what else do you have, Lord? You know, it's kind of cocky when you stop and think about it. But we're not impressed, Lord. We're not impressed. And I'll tell you what, God could do some things in this church if he really wanted to do that would blow your mind. But God has taken it easy up until this point. See, God is speaking very loudly to us, but we don't hear his voice. We don't hear what he's trying to say, what he's trying to do. Oh, we listen to everybody else's voice. We listen to the media's voice. There's so many voices going around in this world right now, and it's like Christians are listening to every one of them except the voice of God. And the reason I know that we're not listening to the voice of God, and that's because God is not able to do in this church what he wants to do. And so we need to repent and begin to turn back to the heart of God. Now, let's look in verse 21. God is speaking very loudly, but we don't hear his voice, and this is the reason we don't hear it. It was the Lord's pleasure for his righteousness to magnify instruction and revelation and glorify them. You and me. God's purpose was to bring his righteousness through Christ Jesus into our lives through the revelation and the instruction of his word. But the problem is we won't get into His Word to be able to receive that which God wants to give us. It's like going to Luby's for lunch and getting your plate, and I mean your tray, and just sliding down the display of food and getting down to the end and you haven't taken any food. Or you went to Luby's for lunch today, but you didn't eat nothing. And that's what so many Christians do. They get up in the morning and they look at that book, the Bible, and say, hey, the Word of God, amen. And they're on their way. They don't pick it up to read. They pick it up to just look at it or move it or whatever. And you got to get into the Word to hear God. Amen. You're never going to hear Him any other way unless an audible voice, and very few hear an audible voice from God. Now, this would bring glory to His Word and the teacher of that Word, the Holy Spirit. Do you ever give the Spirit of God the opportunity to teach you the Word? Jesus said that He would. He's come to teach us and lead us into all truth. But yet we won't give Him the opportunity. Our ears are deaf. Verse 22. But this is a people robbed and plundered. This is a people robbed and plundered. What's been going on in your life the last year? What have you lost in the last year that has been a shock to you? Had any bad business deals go down? Been robbed by IRS or anything like that? I'm telling you, these are the kind of things that happen. But this is a people robbed and plundered. They are all of them snared in holes and hidden in houses of bondage. They have become a prey with no one to deliver them, a spoil with no one to say, restore them. Restore them. What do you think the heart of Jesus is in our lives right now as a church? God wants to restore us. Jesus wants to revive us. Revive us. And the reason that we're blind and deaf is because we've allowed ourselves to walk in deception, and we've replaced the Word of God with opinions and traditions of men. I get so tired of hearing people's opinions of the Word of God. Because you can nail them to the cross when you turn around and ask them, well, have you been in the Word? Have you heard this from the Word? Well, no, I just know it. No, you don't know nothing. You're listening to what the enemy is speaking in your ear, but you don't have any understanding of the Word of God. And we've got too many opinions out here and too many churches trying to follow after the traditions of men. And so we've created for ourselves little places of refuge that we call churches. Let me tell you, River of Life is not a place of refuge for you to come and hide. River of Life can be a refuge for those who are hurting, those who are in need. We can be that refuge. But this is not a place for you to come and hide from the world, because you are supposed to be an overcomer. You don't need to hide from the enemy. You take the battle to the enemy. That's the way it's supposed to be. But we've abandoned our sole purpose for being in the kingdom of God. We've abandoned what God put us here to do. Well, Pastor, what did God put me here to do? Well, to go and tell others about Jesus. Plain and simple. That's what you're here for. You're not here to build up some pomp and glory for heaven later on, that, you know, where God's going to exalt you and all of this stuff. No, that's not the way God works. God wants you to get out here and get as many people into the kingdom of God as you can before you do go to be with Jesus. God also has you out here to walk in victory and live an overcoming life. How can this church or any Christian ever be a witness to someone else when they are depressed all the time? When they are walking in need and lack all the time? We've got to set an example for people to be able to see the truth and the power of Almighty God in our lives on a day-to-day basis. You see, we don't even represent the love, not our lives, even unto death. We're still struggling with love. We're still struggling with the love that God has for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. I mean, there's Christians today that are still struggling with that, trying to understand why God would love them that much. It makes no difference. God loves you that much. Period. You receive it by faith, just like you receive everything else from God by faith. And we're also supposed to be loving our neighbors as ourselves. And this is one of the hardships that we see in too many churches today. I was listening to this program on Israel this morning. And the person was talking about that one of the things that you can see in Israel is how the people love their neighbors. How the people love their neighbors. What would happen if a group of Israelites came over to the United States? Huh. They'd wonder, what's wrong with you people? I thought y'all are Christians. I thought you had Jesus in your life. You don't even know God if you don't know how to love. That's what they would say. And the other one's the same way. Love the Lord our God with our whole heart, our mind, our everything that's within us. We're to love Him in that manner, but we don't. Well, how do you know how I love? Oh, it's evident. You see, when you truly love someone, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to cause grief in their lives, but yet so many Christians are causing grief in the life of God. Because of what they're doing, what they're involved in, and how they're living their daily lives outside of the church. Oh, they can come to church and look perfectly fine. But you get them outside the church and you can't tell the difference between them and the world. You see, we've allowed ourselves to be placed into bondage designed by the deceiver himself. Deception. And here we are in bondage, and at the same time we're in the presence of the Restorer Himself, yet we don't recognize Him. Jesus is the Deliverer. Jesus is the Reviver, but yet we don't recognize Him. Oh, we invite Him. Jesus, come, manifest Yourself in this church. Come, Lord Jesus, be the head of this body of Christ. And we say these things, but we don't really mean it from the heart. They're just words that are spoken. And I think they're kind of those idle words that Jesus talked about. He said, you're going to be responsible for every idle word that you spoke. And you see, if we don't wake up and listen, then we're going to miss the day of our visitation. So a call would be going out in our church, River of Life Church, wake up. It's time to wake up. Look at verse 23. Who is there among you who will give ear to this? Is there anybody here that wants to listen to this today? Who will listen and hear in this time that is here? Are you really listening? Where's your mind at right at this moment? Is it what you're going to have for lunch? Or what you've got to do this coming up week? Or is it connected to God? And you're seeing what God has in store for you today. Do you hear what God is saying? Do you recognize that God really does have a plan for this church? And that God wants to unfold that plan right in front of us. And so if we're willing, God will do it. And the only thing that we need to do is to get rid of this apathy. You know, we dealt with it here a couple of weeks ago, but we only got a portion of the people. But apathy needs to be dealt with in this church, as well as laziness and anger. Let me tell you, there's forgiveness that needs to happen in this church right here. Forgiveness. Because brother is angry at brother. And I'm not talking about kin, brother. I'm talking about one another. We're angry with one another over some piddly little thing that doesn't amount to nothing. And we're letting that anger rule our lives. And let me tell you, when you're angry, when you're upset about something, apathy is easy to fall into. You just get to where you don't care. And this is also happening in relationships. You know, right here in the United States, you know, the divorce rate is still way above 50%. And that shouldn't be. I mean, the church should be able to have some impact on this nation somehow, some way. And we can have if we'll just get busy and get in line with God and begin to do what God says. Amen? No amen. All right. So if you'll hear the voice of the Spirit, hear what God is saying, and respond to Him in repentance this morning, then God will come and He will heal you. If you need saving, He will save you. He will deliver you. He will restore you. He'll purify you. And He'll even revive you if you're just willing. If you can look at your life and see what you need to do and just tell the Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Now let's turn over to Isaiah 43. God wants to give you a future promise. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. In other words, as you respond to the Holy Spirit, lay down all this garbage that's in your past and forget it. You don't need to carry it any further than today. Get rid of it. Nowhere has God ever called us to carry garbage around. If you had a bad situation in your life and you've never repented of it, never asked God to forgive you, then you need to do that. And then let it go. Let it go. Don't be carrying it around. God is not carrying it around. So why do you think you have to carry it around? Well, the reason you're carrying it around is because you're still in fellowship with the devil, and he walks around with you every day whispering that in your ear. And so you need to get rid of him at the same time. And don't fellowship with darkness. Get back into the light where you belong and stay there. Because I'll guarantee you the enemy's not going to walk in the light with you. Amen? All right. Just repent and turn to God with your whole heart. And then give him your whole life. Everything. Everything. I wish we could stay in this room until everybody in this room gave everything to God. Wouldn't that be a miracle? Probably be here a long time. And it wouldn't be so much that God didn't know what to do with your life after you gave it to him. It's just that you would take a long time making up your mind that that's what you really want, because you've never actually done it. But I'm telling you, that's just as big a part of salvation as anything, is to give your life to. I mean, Jesus gave his life for you. So why can't you give your life to him? This is a part of that old things are passed away and all things have become new. Amen? All right, verse 19. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Wow. God is the God of a new thing. Bring it on, God. Bring it on. We want to see a good thing, some good things. Now it springs forth, do you not know? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How would you like to find your way out of the wilderness? Amen. Let's drop on down to verse 25. I am he who blots out and cancels your transgression for my own sake. And here's what I told you a while ago. And I will not remember your sins. I'm not going to remember them anymore. And again, why do you remember them? Only because the devil don't want you to forget them. And so put him in his place where he belongs, under your feet, and give him up. Chunk him in Jesus' name. Now on down into the next chapter, Isaiah 44, verse 3. I will pour water upon him who is thirsty. Anybody thirsty in here this morning? There's living water in this church this morning. God says, I'll pour it out on you if you're thirsty. I will pour out floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offsprings and my blessings upon your children and your children's children. Praise God. I'm in that position where I can look at my children and my children's children. Amen. That's my grandkids. And so what God is pouring out on me, he's pouring out on them. And I want to see all of them come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But my kids are blessed right now, and my grandchildren are being blessed because of the promise that is in Isaiah 44, verse 3. Amen. That's a good promise. It belongs to us. And see, these are the kind of things that we don't ever think about. But these are the kind of things that are life-changing. Life-changing. And then finally in Romans, I know people have trouble when you stay in the Old Testament all the time. They think, well, you know, that's the Old Covenant. You're not supposed to be over there. Yada, yada, yada. Now, God speaks through anything. God can speak through a donkey. He can speak through anything. All right? Romans 13, beginning in verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that now is, it is high time. I like that. It's not just time, it's high time for you to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on Jesus. He's your Savior. He's your deliverer, your healer. He's everything that you need in life. So why don't we put him on? Put him on and wear him like a garment. I mean, he fills you from the inside out as it is. But let other people see him on your life and in your life. When we studied the five or the ten virgins, you know, this Paul's talking about, for the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Remember, this was one of the conflicts among the virgins. Five were ready. They were standing around waiting for the time to happen, but five weren't. And I think about that sometimes. I really do, in relation to Christians. In relation to people who make up churches. And I look at the lives of these people and I think, they're not ready. If Jesus were to come today, they're not ready. They're not ready. And what is it going to take to make people wake up to the fact that they're not ready? And you see, if somebody came and told me, you know, boy, you better not die today, because if you did, you'd go to hell. Well, no, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You're not ready. Well, don't you think I'd get busy trying to find out why I'm not ready? Well, I think all of us should look at that and make sure that we are ready. Because Jesus said that when he returns, he wants to find some faith. That means he wants to find some people that are standing around believing that he's coming back. Amen? And I tell you what, if you can't do things on time in your daily life, you're sure not going to be ready for Jesus to come. Because time is not a factor in your life. It's not something important in your life. You just live life, you know, just freely, don't care, you know, whether you get there or not, or what time you get there, whatever. That's not the way God has called us to live as Christians. We're to live in such a manner, you know, that we're always ready. No matter when it happens, we are going to be ready. Now, Jesus is calling out to lukewarm hearts. Do you really think that Jesus wants to spew people out of his mouth? I mean, do you really think that's his heart? It's not. But I'm telling you, if you push him to the mark, it'll happen. Because he doesn't tell lies. Amen? He doesn't tell lies. And so if he says there's a possibility that might happen if you don't repent, then I would suggest that you repent. Are you going to find yourself in a pickle one day? And it's not going to be one that you like. So Jesus is calling out to lukewarm hearts, whether they're in the hearts of Christians or whether they're in the heart of a church. You see, if we're going to be in one accord in this church, then we need to have a heart for the fullness of God's Word. I mean, that's where we ought to have our faith locked in on, is what God has already said to us, what God wants out of our lives each day. And that should be the heart of the church. Now, there was a hymn, I don't know how long ago, many, many years ago, I'm sure. I remember when I was a kid, we used to sing it, and that's a long time ago when I was a kid. but it goes like this, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling, and he's calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you. And for me, Jesus is looking at every opportunity, looking for you and me to come back and be what we're supposed to be in Christ. You know, when I grew up, I used to think, well, this is just for the lost. I'm okay. But the older I've got, I see it much clearer than just, you know, encapsulating the lost. I mean, Jesus is talking about the backslider. He's talking about the person who's running around in deception, living their life just like the world and don't care. I mean, this is a demonstration, an outward voice declaring the hurt that's in his heart. I bet it hurt him immensely when he had to speak that word to the church at Ephesus. That I know your works, and you're not either hot or cold. You're lukewarm. And I'm going to spit you out of my mouth if you don't change. I know that hurt his heart. And I know that his heart grieves today over the church. I mean, why wouldn't it? It's his body. But the song goes on to the chorus, come home, who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling all sinner to come home. And that's what he's doing this morning. You know, this wasn't a message to make you feel bad and go out and ponder it this week and think, well, you know, I'm not even going to go back to that church. You know, all he ever talks about is repent, repent, repent. Well, let me tell you, that's where life is through repentance. That's where the fullness of the Spirit comes, is through repentance. That's where seeing God move comes through a church repenting. And so we need to follow this thing out and follow the Lord everywhere that He wants us to go and make sure that we're in the right position. And I think we're going to know when we're in the right position because we're going to see God moving. We're going to see God doing some awesome things in our individual lives and then corporately as a church. So what I'm going to do this morning is I want everybody to sit there with your head bowed. And I want you to give the Spirit of God an opportunity to speak into your heart. I'm going to play that song for you this morning. And while I'm playing it, I want you to be talking to the Holy Spirit. And if there's something that you need to do in your heart this morning, then I want you to get up and I want you to come up to the front and I want you to stand until we get through. And then I'm going to pray over each one of you. But this is a time between you and the Father. This is a time between you and Jesus. And they both are fully aware of where you're at right now. And this is a work of repentance that needs to begin today. Okay?